Okay, Om Shanti. So when I think about Brother Jagdish, an image of a dignified Rajyogi comes in front of me. Many times he used to say that no matter how many titles or how much higher a status or position you get, but there is no higher title or a higher status than a Rajyogi. He was not after any titles or status symbols. For him, that he was a Rajyogi, this was the greatest thing. Many VKs know who have met him in Shaktinagar that his room was all in one for him. It was his bedroom, his office, his meeting room, his counseling room, everything, everything. Very simple, very, very simple, and very dedicated to Baba's task. He was a Rajyogi. His food was very simple and very little in quantity, like Rajyogis. I remember that he used to say that pickles are not in the category of sattvic food. He did not allow us to take any pickle except for the lemon pickle, and that too without oil because of some, you know, health problem, something wrong with the stomach or something like that. And otherwise he didn't allow us to take any pickle. He said it is not sattvic. And there was no question of any chilies used in the food. He never took chili, and we also never used to take any chili. He didn't allow that too. One of the things he used to say is that when you are taking your food, after you have finished the food, don't sit, you know, don't keep sitting around the dining table for a long time. Because if you keep sitting and talking, you know, there will be something on the table and you just, you know, without noticing, you will pick up something and put in your mouth. This will be called that you do not have control over your senses. Even if you are not hungry, you just take something and put it in your mouth. So he used to say that when you have finished your food, you should free the table and go away somewhere, even if you have to talk to somebody and so on. And so therefore, like a Rajyogi, he used to not only practice himself to have that full control over the senses, he used to teach us also who were the center residents. And I have heard many times in the classes also in Madhuban when he used to advise like that for, you know, give this advice for everyone. He also taught us to keep our word. You know, I remember from my very young age when I started, you know, doing different kinds of services with him, he was very, very particular about time and about the word. If he used to give me something to do and will ask me that how much time it will take for you to do, and I will give him that time. For example, I will say by 11 o'clock I will finish this task. For him, 11 meant 11. It did not at all mean 11:05. 11 means 11. That means I should be so focused. I should train my mind and intellect to remain focused. It should not run here and there when I am doing my work. And so he was like that. He was quite focused, you know, when he was doing, and he was, his room was always on the top floor, just alone, and he will remain focused. And so this is one of the qualities of Rajyogis, whose subtle powers and sense organs are under his control. And that is what I observed in the life of Brother Jagdish. Baba gave him this title Sanjay, one who has far-sighted intellect. The efforts of Brother Jagdish showed that he wanted to make Baba's vision of him as Sanjay, a reality. He used to get up quite early in the morning at about 2 o'clock, and then come down at 3:30 for Amrit Vela with all of us center residents. He will, while coming down, when he will pass through the second floor, he was on the third floor, when he passed to the second floor, he will knock the doors of our rooms in case we are sleeping. And he will make it sure that all of us are in the hall before 4 o'clock. And if somebody was a little, you know, careless or lazy about it, so he would, in a very yukti-yukt way, tell that person that it is your duty to play the music, go and play the music before Amrit Vela. And turn by turn, the duty was given to sit in front and give drishti to all. He will keep sitting all the time till the Amrit Vela continued. And we were quite young, young sisters, and he will ask turn by turn to us to give drishti. He made this very, very sure that we learn how to practice good stage of yoga. And we could see from his eyes how deeply he was absorbed in Baba's remembrance. Very, very deeply. Sometimes he used to conduct yoga himself, and even individually he used to make us sit in some room and give drishti for a long, long time so that we will have a very good experience of yoga. I remember this, that when the services in Russia began, at that time we were staying in a very small flat. He came, he was here, and so a very small room in which he stayed. And so he asked some BKs to come at Baba's home, at this Baba's flat. And so one by one, every BK was going to his room for 5 minutes. He was giving them drishti individually. He wanted to give them that experience of yoga because he deeply believed it, that once this experience of yoga will come, then the soul will not shake at all, no matter how many storms of maya come, how many difficulties the soul has to face, but the soul will remain very, very strong. So he, you know, gave particular attention to this practice himself, and also enabled us, made us to practice and have good experience of yoga. One more thing, like when we say Sanjay, so the far-sighted intellect, so he could clearly see the abilities of the soul. Even if the soul will not realize that I have such abilities, he could clearly see the abilities of the soul with his far-sighted intellect, and very often tell Dadiji about this or that soul, that Dadi, this soul will be of quite, you know, useful for this or that kind of service. I remember my own example, you know, it was probably in 1970. I was 17 years maybe of age. I had started already certain services with him. And once I was, he gave me some work to do. And I went back to his room to give this task, to give these papers back to him. He was taking lunch with Dadi Gulzar. It was at that time Kamla Nagar Center. And he, while addressing to Dadi, you know, then said, he used to address her as Gulzar Behen. He said, Gulzar Behen, see this young Kumari, So today she is a young Kumari, and there will be a time, you know, when he said that she will shine like light in the sky. You know, I very much actually wish to fulfill this hope. And, you know, he could see probably some specialities in every soul and how to use those specialities. And because he had that far-sighted intellect, and probably he got this intellect because of his love for Baba, his faith in Baba, his yoga with Baba. Now, another thing which I would like to tell here is that he was full of love and respect for Baba. Full of love and respect for Baba. There's so many stories. I'll tell you a couple of things here. During the evening class with all Santa Nivasis, very often he used to ask us to repeat after him these words. Niche Baba, Ladle Baba, Sikilade Baba. So he will repeat, say with me, Niche Baba, Ladle Baba, Sikilade Baba. Probably by making us repeat this, maybe I remember that probably we didn't feel it to that level as he must have been saying it. But he still wanted to repeat this, probably wanting to instill in us that love for Baba. He valued Baba's versions from the core of his heart. And he wanted to take us also, you know, in the depth of Baba's versions by trying to make us learn to read between the words and the phrases which are printed on the paper. And for that, he used to ask questions and questions after questions from one point to make our intellects realize the depth of Baba's words and not just read them. I consider really myself to be very fortunate having learned from him how to read and understand Baba's Murli. So he himself used to go in that depth, and this is why he could instill, at least in me, I can understand that depth of Baba's Murli. And I love Baba's Murli so much. Whenever I read the Murli, I am from my very heart thankful to him. And then another thing about his love for Baba and respect for Baba, it was visible when he used to distribute to the whole class toli from a small box, you know, which he brought from Madhuban after, you know, Abed Babdada's meeting. From Baba's tray, a small box of toli was given to him, and he will bring that box and will tell Chakradhari Didi that today I want to give toli to the whole class. And we used to think that there is a big box because the class was very big. But actually it was not a big box. It is just a small box. And so we will say, but it is so small. The toli is so little. Probably it is not so good that all the Brahmins will stand in a big queue to take little toli. Then he used to look at us and used to say, you don't yet understand its value. And I remember that with how much bhavana he used to give this toli to everyone. This was so little, like, you know, small balls of homeopathic medicine. Very little, very, very little. And every Brahmin will come, will wait for his turn in front of him. He will sit on the gaddi and everybody will take this toli, and he will say that this is the true Mahaprasad, which was directly offered to God. And it is from that we have this chance, this golden chance to get this Mahaprasad, which was offered to God. So he was full of that love and respect for Baba's Yajna, for Baba's food, for everything what belongs to Baba. Then Baba also called him Ganesh. It is said that Buddhi and Siddhi, Buddhi is intellect, though it is not very accurate translation of Buddhi. Buddhi and Siddhi, Siddhi is generally translated as success, but again it is not very accurate translation. I don't know what will be the accurate translation. It is Siddhi, you say and it is done. It's like that. So it is said that Buddhi and Siddhi are the companions of Ganesh. And so how did this happen? I remember the Murli of 16th April, when Shiv Baba spoke about Brahma Baba, that how Brahma Baba gave all the rights to Shiv Baba to use him as he wants and how he wants and when he wants. I feel that Padma Jagdish did the same. He gave all rights to Shiv Baba to use him as and how Baba wants. And he himself, Brother Jagdish, used to feel that he has all rights over Baba. He used to use this word, hujjat. He used to say, I have hujjat, I have full right over Baba. And if this task is to be done, Baba will have to get this task done. He had so much of feeling of right over Baba that there was nothing impossible for him. The word impossible just did not exist for him. If Baba will give him some task, and so his buddhi, you know, he will get some such touchings that the impossible things will become possible. There are so many stories about it. And I know that many of you know those stories. And maybe some don't know, of course, but they are really wonderful stories. How the impossible things became possible because of this buddhi, which he got from Baba, and siddhi, as a result of, you know, as a result of his this dedication that he gave Baba all the rights to use him as Baba wants and when he wants. We all also know many stories that how Baba tested Brother Jagdish very well. From the very beginning, Baba tested his faith, his obedience in different ways. And Brother Jagdish was always ahead in this aspect too. Baba had kept, you know, Baba has kept sisters and mothers in front. Brother Jagdish had a lot of respect and high vision for sisters. No matter how young they were, he had very high vision for them. He used to appreciate and encourage them to create self-confidence in them. I remember when a letter had to be written to, you know, to be sent to some authorities. They would write the letter, get it printed, and then come to Chattadhari Didi for taking the signature. Didi will take the pen and she was just ready to put her signs, put her signatures. He will stop her and say, no, not like this. First give drishti to this letter and then put your signature. So he wanted to bring Baba in every smallest, minutest task. And this was probably his yoga. He brought Baba in every task. how minute it may be. And for everything, you know, he used to do like that. So if we are going somewhere and if we are in a hurry, he will still stop us to say, no, not like this. First go to Baba's room. Even for a second, say to Baba that you are going. So he would not allow us to go just like that. And so he would used to bring Baba in every task. And so this was his stage of yoga. When I came to Russia first time in 1989, I remember that I had 80 kilograms of baggage with me, and my own body weight was much less than that. And so he used to come to the airport to drop us and to see us off, and himself used to take the trolley of the luggage, put the luggage on the belt and so on and so forth. And he used to do it for many years till we got that self-confidence that we can do it ourselves. So much of respect he had for Baba's task and the sisters. Because the time is running, I would like to quickly say one, two more things. One of the main teachings of Baba for his Raj Yogi children is maintaining balance. Jagdish Bhai was the embodiment of that. On one hand, everybody, when he will look at him at it from a distance, most of us used to feel that he's quite serious. But at the same time, he was very humorous, very humorous. And there were many other balances, but I would like to tell you this one last thing about this balance of seriousness and being humorous. I will tell you one experience of his last but one visit to Russia in year 2000. During the farewell program, Brother Jagdish was to say at the end few words of blessings and good wishes, and give some advice for further progress and so on and so forth. After giving, you know, after speaking few words of good wishes and blessings, he then said to the whole class, you know, the class was full, there were hundreds of people, and said, look, how much I love you all. How much I love you all. I have sent my right hands to you. You know, and so he began to describe and that this and that and so on. And then all, of course, applauded. And after this applause stopped, Brother Jagdish still had the mic in his hand. After a pause, he said that now I am taking them back. And the whole gathering in one voice, loudly, very loudly, as if shouted, no! And then he began to laugh and said, ah, look, you love them more than me. You have given me farewell and you want me to go and you do not want them to leave. So you love them more than me. And after that, he laughed and laughed and laughed. And of course, the whole gathering also laughed with those, you know, tears of love and happiness in their eyes. So this was in short about my experience, about what I would like to say about Brother Jagdish Raj Yogi's life. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, Sudhadidi. Such a beautiful, heartfelt sharing from you. You know, I never had the opportunity to meet Brother Jagdish in real life, but your sharing took me there. It's almost as if I got the experience firsthand. So thank you so much. At this moment, we'd like to welcome Brother Neville to share briefly his experience with Brother Jagdish.
This is Neville. I enjoyed listening to Sister Sudha very greatly. It was such a pleasure to remember Jagdish Bhai. My memory of him was of a huge intellectual with a vast range of knowledge. We used to joke with him when he came to London that he had 10 brains. He didn't mind. He found that he enjoyed the joke. But he was always extremely kindly towards me. I became a Brahmin at a later age, and I already had a career and a family, and he was very kindly and tolerant towards my weaknesses. I remember we were once at an event in Chennai, and I tried in a cultural program doing a mind reading exercise, and with him I couldn't make it work, and it knocked me back quite a lot, but he came afterwards to reassure me that everything was fine. He was so sweet. With his lectures in Madhuban, he'd sometimes say, I've got 20 points that I want to share with you. And an hour and a half would go by, we'd still be riveted, and he would only have got to point two. He was like this. He was extremely funny. But as Sudhadidi was pointing out, he also had this yogi's power to read another person. Not kind of mind reading, but he was able to read your feelings, what was going on in you, what your strengths might be. And once he attended a conference on science and consciousness in Olympia, Greece. And at that, he, at the end of it, just through his association with the six or eight of us BKs who'd been working on that, he gave a kind of readout of each one of us, which was extraordinarily accurate. I really admired that, and I wondered, where did that come from? And Sudhadidi was saying it was because he had this far-reaching intellect. He was serious. The knowledge that he acquired was for the protection of the Yagya. I think that was really his central role. Although he had all this information in his head, he only used it for the sake of defending and promoting Dhyan and the understandings being taught by the Brahma Kumaris. So he had an enormous amount of knowledge of science, but he would only cite that for the sake of demonstrating the validity of what he was learning from Baba through Raja Yoga. And he was tough. He wasn't really interested in dialogue. There was an occasion when he came to a conference in Cologne. And I remember that he wrote out the conclusions of the conference before it had even started. he had that total faith that Baba's Gyan is what the world needs to hear. He wasn't interested in kind of hearing speculations by people who didn't have that deep yoga and understanding as he knew it. So his role was a kind of putting up, in some ways, a wall around the movement, so that the beauty and delicacy of the of this new sapling of understanding wouldn't be destroyed by the world, which otherwise would be very, very harsh towards sisters who, the sort of worldly sense, were not being understood by the wider world. He did live in a very austere way, and actually he was, I think right at the end, he was told off somewhat by Bapdada for not having taken adequate care of his body. But in his last 2 years, he was completely filled with love. It was so much love that he shared with everyone. And his yoga was demonstrated. I visited him just shortly before he died, and he was in the intensive care unit at the newly opened Global Hospital. He was very shortly away from leaving the body, but he called everybody in for a kind of service meeting in the intensive care unit just to make sure that his plans were understood and that service would continue. I know that he was offered a liver transplant because the cause of his leaving the body at a relatively young age was that his liver had packed up. But when he made this offer, when he received this offer, he refused it. He had no fear of death. He knew that the soul would move on, and that he would also have I'm quite sure he would have moved into a beautiful role now. So this was also a consequence of his understanding the yoga in a very deep way, a completely integrate it into his being, not just as a point of knowledge. I'm sure he'll be a different person now, of course, but I would love to know who and where he is now, because it would just be so wonderful to reconnect and know that he'd got the reward for living a life of such dedication at a crucial time for the in those early Yagya years. Om Shanti.